BadgerCast number 12.
Straight from southeastern Wisconsin, bringing you your slice of Badgerland, welcome to BadgerCast. And now your host, Julie and Dale.
Hey, a freak show! Dale.
And I'm Julie.
And welcome to 9th or 5th.
You're like,
a decade off.
Gee, that's like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Welcome to 2009.
Yeah.
First day.
Easy day.
And if you're, we ended abruptly there. If you're listening to us for the first time, welcome.
Yes, we're glad to have you.
And if you're a returning listener,
thanks for coming back,
and God bless your soul.
So
welcome.
So,
all right, what have you been up to? You're the one that has the oh, by the way, this is the promised before Christmas episode, 10 days after Christmas or 11 days after Christmas.
we got sidetracked by life here.
You seem to have the most to talk about. So why don't you start, and then maybe I can talk about what little I have later.
Well, if I remember correctly, I think I said that there were lots of shakeups going on at work. And if I remember my dates correctly, let's see, 15th, like the first week in December-ish, was the second wave of cuts. And my boss lost her job, along with several other middle management people. And because of those, quote, terminations, our director of nursing said, adios. 2 weeks later, I was told adios. For multiple reasons. Can't get into any of them right now because there are children in the house right now. But that had put me 10 days before Christmas looking for a new job. And you were about to say something there? No? Which put me at one day of wallowing and then starting the 16th, more days of positive. So I have begun a job search. I have not found anything permanent yet or full-time, but I did find a temporary agency to work with. And they feel that they can put me in some gainful employment. We'll see what happens.
Good, good. It's interesting that you got to go experience the job frustrations and hunts right along with me this year.
What I find quite interesting on multiple levels is I had two interviews. First interview was somebody who contacted me after my resume was posted on, I don't remember if it was Career Builder or Monster, but she called me. And she wanted me to come in for an interview. I'm like, fine. I go in. It's an interview. I don't know. To me, that means you wearing dress casual.
So, or better.
Or better. So I was wearing a pair of nice dress black pants and a nice shirt to go with it. I wouldn't say heels, but, you know, I wasn't wearing grungy shoes. You know, appropriately dressed for said interview. I get there. Number one, there's nobody at the desk to greet anybody who walked in. So I stood around looking, trying to find somebody to ask or say I was there for the interview.
Okay.
She finally comes out about 5-10 minutes later, and, well, she'll be with you in a few minutes, tells me where to hang up my coat, blah, blah, blah. When said HR representative comes out, she is wearing a pair of cargo pants, tennis shoes, hoodie, sweater, and t-shirt.
Nice.
With her hair, and all kind of pulled back in one of those sport headbands and in a ponytail. And I'm like,
okay, did she wake up to, like, before the interview? What time is the interview?
Interview was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Well, that excuse don't work.
No. So I was kind of surprised at the less than stellar dress attitude of said HR rep. She is representing not just one entity. She is representing at least four entities in her role as a recruiter. And she shows up to an interview like that. That's one.
All right.
Two is when we got to the actual, I'm going to sit down and talk to you. We were in a closet, like a half bath size room, which had a desk and shelves, which were all empty. There was nothing on the shelves. There was no basic computer set up in the room, no plants, no nothing. You know, empty desk, table, and two chairs. And we sat down at the table. She promptly opened up her computer, and I never saw her face through the rest of the hour interview.
Now, okay, a couple of things. One, it really wasn't an interview room. I mean, because interview rooms are pretty small and they're pretty generic.
It could have been an interview room had it had stuff in it. It was like somebody was, they weren't using that for anything. Nobody was assigned to the space. It was devoid of anything except the actual furniture.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's kind of an interview room. Pretty generic.
No pictures on the wall.
Depends on the...
when you looked at the rest of the office and everything else was, quote, furnished.
How well the other offices were directed.
Which brings me to another point. When I looked out when I was... Number one, like I said, she looked at her computer, the laptop,
I'll get to that
hour,
in a second.
And rarely looked up to talk to me. But two things. Number one, she asked me all the same darn information that was listed in my resume, which was all online. She asked me nothing different than what she already knew. Again, no eye contact, nothing special. Number two, when I got done with the interview and I'm looking at other people in the office, everybody else was dressed, quote, more appropriately or more like I was. There are two guy recruiters in the office, both wearing long sleeve shirt and tie and dress pants. They may or may not have had a suit jacket, but they weren't wearing it when I was looking at them. Everybody else was much more, in my opinion, appropriately dressed. That was interview number one.
Okay. A couple of things. One, I wouldn't be surprised if a interview room's kind of small, closety-like thing that's a little bit stark. They don't want you to focus on anything other than themselves.
Okay. Again, we're...
Second, but it really shouldn't be outside of the character of the rest of the office.
You have to put into perspective the last time I interviewed for anything was over 12 flipping years ago. Things are a lot different.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that once.
I think you did.
Yeah.
And I said that was interview number one. Interview number two. Similar things. Very stark. Now what are you telling me to hold on for?
I had a question about interview number one.
Okay. Go ahead.
As you tell me the story yet again, because mm-hmm. you've told it to me, you know, right after and then a couple of other times.
Yes.
Something just came to mind.
And that would be?
I wonder if that person that interviewed you was an intern.
I don't think so.
This was kind of a practice thing.
Okay, if that is true, then there should have been somebody with her saying that we're working together. So I do not believe it was an intern. She made comments throughout the interview where that she says she's been doing this a while.
Okay. I personally have been in meetings where people just stare at their laptops and do blah, blah, blah. I hate it because it's not the point of a meeting. The point of exchange of ideas. It's not wrong to have somebody recording.
I didn't say it was against her recording. I am against her sitting there for almost an hour with rare glances at eye contact. That leaves me, the interviewee, where the hell do I look? Do I look at the laptop? Do I continue to look at her even though she's not looking at me? Do I pick some point on the wall or shelf behind her? Very, very disconcerting as the person being talked to.
I would look for the door.
I saw the door.
And I would walk out the door.
Can't walk out the door. Can't. There's limited fish in the sea.
Yes, true. But most likely that interview ended before it started.
In my opinion, yes.
Okay.
Can I go on to interview number two?
Yes, you can go on to interview number two.
Interview number two was with a gentleman. Their office, I don't know quite the word I want. It was a very work in progress people going on. There was like a, you came in, and there was a desk for a receptionist, again, who wasn't there. Then you had kind of like a grouping of desks in the middle where like the hub of everything was going on. And then they had rooms around it that they would go into and close the door to have more private type stuff going on.
Okay.
Some of those offices were furnished. Others, as in the first interview, were basically shells of an office with nothing in there.
Okay.
Yet, when I sat down to talk with him, eye contact, handshake, no paper, no pencil, no computer. We sat, shot the breeze, eye to eye for over an hour, didn't ask me stuff he already knew, basically expounded upon some of the stuff that had been written down and wanted in a little bit more detail. Just a much more personable feel.
Sounds also much more professional.
Much, much more professional. Okay. I mean, he had a suit. He wasn't wearing his jacket, but he was in a suit, long sleeves, tie. Same age range, I think, in early 30s,
okay.
Early to mid 30s. But had a much more focus for what he wanted and what he wanted for me. I was able to ask questions, and if he couldn't go into them, he wouldn't. He's like, well, I can't go into that specific. I mean, he had reasoning, and he didn't come off as, I'm real lackadaisical, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, much more professional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he's actually the one that so far I'm with as a temporary, I shouldn't say temporary employee. I am their employee, but they have contracts with other facilities around the area who they need a short-term worker, whether it be a day-to-day type thing or a contracted, like, I need somebody for 3 months or 13 weeks, whatever. So I'm guaranteed, I shouldn't say I'm guaranteed. I can work as many hours as I want once they figure out where the heck they want to put me.
Basically, we changed lives.
Yeah.
I'm
the independent contractor. Now
you're the consultant.
Yep.
And I'm the internal employee.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting because in this market, because of where I was, there are that whole group I can't work for.
There are like three major groups of hospitals in the area.
Right.
And you've worked one for group, two at some point in your career.
I've worked for two of them in the area, and I can go back and work for the one. I mean, I didn't leave there on yucky terms, but the place that I just left, they have, let's see, the place I was at, two, three, four. They have five other facilities in this area that I can't work at, all of which are looking for help, specifically in the area I want to work, and I can't go there.
Is that a permanent thing or just like a year or...?
Don't know. All I was told was, don't grace our doorstep again unless it's a medical emergency.
Well, isn't that special?
Yeah.
Hey, should we take a break?
Sure.
All right. From Iota Promonet, this is a very special live edition of Los Lonely Boys and Heaven.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, from San Angelo, Texas, Los Lonely Boys.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to take the opportunity right now to dedicate this whole set to our grandma who passed away this morning. And this first song especially goes out to her. So grandma, if you're listening, this one goes out to you. Misery.
way too long in this crazy world. How far is heaven? But I'll just keep on praying, Lord, and just keep on living. How far is heaven? Oh, can you tell me? Way too long in this crazy world. How far is heaven? So why just keep on playing low? Just keep on living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me? How far is heaven? I just gotta know how far. How far is heaven?
Thank you very much.
From IOTA Promonet, that was Los Lonely Boys and Heaven. Welcome back to BadgerCast. And where were we?
I don't know. We keep getting interrupted by kids.
Well, that's what happens when you try to do a very special Christmas-y type show.
Holiday-y.
Type show.
During the day.
In the middle of the afternoon.
During Christmas break. Can I send them back now?
They'll go back on Monday. So you've got a few days. So anything else going on with you?
Well, besides that, I can teach. I have ACLS and PALS classes that I can teach, which will be nice. There's only one drawback to that. She pays a flat fee per hour and has nothing taken out of the checks, so I have to do some finagling when it comes to which percentage of that check I need to set aside for taxes later on at the end of 2009.
Approximately 33% of it.
We'll see.
So, anything else?
On job wise, no. We'll see what happens over the next week or so here with me getting all the paperwork and whatever else needed to start working at different places.
All right. Let's see. Me. Well, since the last time we talked.
You're still employed.
I'm still employed.
And you said you like it.
Yeah. And we got to go to a Christmas party, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You came home with something from the office.
Oh, yes. I felt like Bob Cratchit.
Uh-huh.
I came home the day before Christmas Eve, because we had Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, and the day after Christmas, with a 11-pound or 11.5-pound turkey, frozen turkey, which is still in the freezer because we
have
that'll
be dinner sometime this week.
Yeah, but it was a little bit too close to the holiday to make it dinner on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. But we'll definitely have that for dinner sometime soon, which was a nice gift. Nothing else too much on the work front. Been doing some great things, catching some problems and fixing them. So at least I'm hopefully making a dent.
Oh, that's what you're there for, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So one of the things I'm trying to do for 2009 is at least approach my job as no surprises. Not that I'm sure surprises will occur. I'm not that naive. I've been around the block a few times.
Only a few?
We'll get into the block, around the block a few times in a minute. But my hope is to eliminate or reduce the amounts of surprises in my job and in anything I touch in the next year.
Okay.
At work, at least.
Okay, we'll see how you do with that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be my New Year's resolution. No surprises.
I don't make resolutions. No.
Well, I have to at work. I got to put a goal out there.
Goals are different than resolutions.
All right, a goal. My New Year goal is no surprises.
Okay.
Let's talk about Christmas.
What about Christmas? Well, drove 3 hours during a snowstorm.
Well, kind of the tail end of a snowstorm.
Well, we started off in the middle of a snowstorm, and by the time we hit,
Lemira?
Or Fond du Lac? Fond du Lac, Oshkosh area, it cleared up, and it wasn't too bad after that, but took almost an extra hour to get up there. And then Christmas Eve was spent...
By the way, that was the dryer.
Is that the dryer?
Yeah.
Either that or the washer. Anyway, Christmas Eve was spent at my parents' house, and all five children were there with their spouses and
significant others.
Well, that's only one, my younger brother with his significant other. And it actually wasn't a bad Christmas Eve. Said girlfriend of my younger brother sat and we played. This was funny. My mom brings out a game to play for the kids while we're waiting. She pulls out Sequence. And I'm looking at the game. I'm thinking, shit, they better like this because, gee, guess what? Mom bought Sequence this year. Okay. We played Sequence for hours.
Okay. For those uninitiated, what is Sequence? Because I didn't know it until you brought the game home on Christmas Day.
Sequence is a board game. And it has, doesn't have all of the...
No, that's two decks of cards.
No. I was going to say on the board itself, I don't think every single card is on that board. But there are...
Yes, every single card except the jacks.
Okay. So all the cards, face cards and numbered cards of the deck are on the grid except for the jacks. And the goal of the game is to get your chip... five in a row in a sequence in a row to win. And it can be either horizontally or vertically.
No diagonals.
No diagonals. And then the four corners are free spaces, so that would give you one if you're going up from there or not. And basically, you have two decks of cards shuffled up. You are dealt six cards to each person, and then your chips. So what you do is say you have the... 10 of hearts. So you can take your 10 of hearts, lay it down, and put your chip on the 10 of hearts if it's still open. And then you pick up another card. And then you're trying to keep your
opponent,
thank you, from getting five in a row by blocking him or whatever. The jacks are wild cards, in a manner of speaking. The two-eyed jack means that you can take your chip and put it in any space you want. The one-eyed jack cards... means that you can lay that one-eyed jack down and take an opponent's chip off. So
and chip him off, so to speak.
Yeah. So it's a game of logic and planning and what have you. And I was surprised at the kids loved it. Anyway, we played that for several hours, and they loved it. And then they opened up their gifts and found it that I got it. So it was fun. What else did we play that day?
Played a little bit of cribbage.
Oh, I didn't play cribbage. No, they played another game. Oh, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh, I think I had left by that point.
You could have.
Okay.
And Ben just said he hates that game. Yeah, because
as a fifth grader,
he was kind of getting put down by grandma, and grandma had to be put in her place. It's like, grandma, they haven't learned that. What they learned when you were in fifth grade compared to what I learned in fifth grade compared to what they're learning in fifth grade are three different things. Grandma had to be told to back off a little bit. She was getting a little ticked that they didn't know some of the answers. And honestly, they haven't had some of that content.
Examples? I wasn't there, so.
I can't give you an example. It's been 2 weeks. Oh, hold on. Ben, you want to say something? Come on down here. Nobody can hear you. If you want to say it, you got to talk. Well, then forget it. Anyway, there were a couple that I know that they haven't had that content. They may get it later in the year, maybe next year in sixth grade, but.
Yeah, or depending on the content, they may not get it at all if it's. They go to public school as opposed to a parochial school.
Whatever.
So.
I didn't like grandma putting down the kids. I said it's a learning experience. If they don't know the answer, they've learned something.
That's right. Oh, and we got Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit's an awesome game.
It's the family edition?
The 25th anniversary family edition. So there's cards for the adults and there's cards for the kids.
Okay. Speaking of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
What is this about the Trivial Pursuit? Stick-Em Trivial Pursuit Tournament.
We are trying to get, let's see, it's me, Spa Guy's wife, Shelly, Cajun Nan, No Regrets,
Lorna.
Which is Lorna, Charlie White, and I'm missing somebody.
I don't know.
I know. Anyway, we all like Trivial Pursuit, and we want to be able to try and play it online. And the best we can come up with Stick-Em. So we can, whoever's going to host the game is going to have to be able to show the
board.
Game board and be the moderator.
And read the questions?
And read the questions.
Okay.
But we haven't found a day when everybody is
available
free enough to do it together yet.
That would be fun to record.
So we're planning on that. It was a game-filled Christmas because the other games we got were the Professor Noggin card game series, which... they got different subjects. There's Greek mythology, the human body, outer space, the countries of the world. I think I got five of them. And they also have an easy and a hard. And basically, it's a trivia game that you play with how many ever people.
Okay, great.
And mom scored because they liked them all.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Santa scored too. Because what did Santa bring? Santa brought somebody a combo birthday and Christmas present, which was what, Ben? It was the, what team was that again? Reed. Ed Reed.
Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens football jersey.
Ravens.
Ravens. Colts is a long time ago. That's Indianapolis now. Even I know that one. And then for Josh got Guitar Hero on tour for the DS, and he's in love with that, and he likes the Heaven song. And then Olivia got sapphire earrings and a sapphire necklace, along with something else that she liked. Can't remember what else I got her. Santa got her. Oh, she got some computer games. That's Christmas, unless you have anything else to add.
No, that's...
Okay, Mr. needs to get away with the Halloween candy is still left. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he found the stash.
And he's eating it. It's even more disgusting. Okay, that brings us to what's Julie reading? And there are two books that I read.
Oh, we missed a lot. Well, first of all, I want to take the opportunity to... we're going to go out of order, I think, today.
What are you taking the... time to thank someone for.
I want to thank everybody who sent me.
Oh, that's right. You
birthday
had a birthday in there, didn't you?
Greetings over Facebook and Twitter.
Old man, you at 45.
45, yes. I'll be dead before you know it.
No, you won't.
There are too many to mention by name, but I will thank you all for wishing me a happy birthday. I really appreciated it. Mm-hmm. And we'll have voicemails, I'm sure. There are some out here that I haven't even heard yet. So this is going to be interesting. Okay. So do you want to do voicemails? Do you want to do...
Let's do voicemails after.
All right.
Okay. So we have What's Julie Reading? And there were two big books I had on my list. First one was the third in the series that I thought was a couple books ago, but it's truly the third in the series. It's Cruel Intent by J.A. Jance. And she has also published Hand of Evil and I can't remember what the first one was. But this one was about somebody who uses the internet and kind of like stealing identities or making up an identity and is a serial killer and how she gets involved. And I liked it. It was good. Each of her series are good. I'm hoping that she has either another J.P. Beaumont book coming out soon or her other series is The Lady Sheriff in Arizona, and I can't think of that series name right now. Anyway, second book was a little different. I haven't read one of these in a long time. It is a historical romance. It's by Iris Johansson. It's called The Treasure. And this is kind of like the, Indiana Jones meets historical fiction in romance, because it's about finding the secret to, I don't want to say longevity, what's the word, immortality?
Oh, the Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth, yeah. And it's set back in the... 1300s here? Let me just double check here. Open up to the first part of the book. It's set back in the late 1100s, early 1200s. And it wasn't bad. It was something different than I've read of hers before and what I've been reading lately. Not bad. And on my list to read, it's kind of funny because I went to the library with a list of books to get because, I'm trying not to buy all the books anymore. And I think I requested like 5 books. And she's like, they'll never come in all at once.
Ha, ha, ha. They came in all at once.
A day later, I have them all. So the one I am currently reading, which we'll talk about next time, is Rita Mae Brown and Sneaky Pie Brown, Santa Claude.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that one next time.
All right. Well, voicemail time.
Okay, your ball.
Hey, Dale and Julie, it's Barely. Julie, 2 hours? 2 hours to the snowblow shovel the driveway? Really? I could have manually shoveled that in probably an hour and a quarter, maybe an hour and a half if I took
a foot of heavy, wet snow.
I used to have to shovel my driveway, which is mud, probably twice as long as yours in 2 hours.
Gotta remember, my first time.
Deep snow and everything. So I'm surprised it took you that long to be able to do that. 2 hours? Come on, I thought you were a motivated woman. You're supposed to do it really fast and get a good workout. And with a snowblower? Sheesh. I thought you were going to blame the rodeo for not having room in the garage for having the snowblower in the shed. So anyway.
It's nice now that we have the snowblower in the garage.
Uh-huh. Right where the rodeo was. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Voicemail number 2.
Hey, guys. It's Manager John. I just had the comments on today's show, and I haven't even finished hearing the whole thing, but I just wanted to say a couple things. First off, snow, I wish we had some. I'm from Ontario originally. I moved over to Vancouver 10 years ago, and one thing I miss dearly is the snow.
I don't think you're missing it anymore.
Lightning and stuff like that, but we don't have any of that stuff here. We just have rain, as West Coast life is. So, second off, I had to weigh in on the thing about the medical. I have never had to pay a cent to medical. I mean, we've got the socialized and universal health care up here in Canada, and quite frankly, after hearing all your woes, I love it up here. The only thing we pay is a monthly premium, which is, for me, $52 a month, and my wife pays the same thing. Our companies, sometimes depending on the company you work for, the company will pay for it. Mine currently does not, but $52 a month is a huge benefit, or a huge advantage over suddenly breaking a leg and having a bill for $2,000 or whatever. So never had to pay a cent in the hospital. Just go in, get your thing fixed, get out, and move on with your life, and it's a wonderful thing. And to be honest, I mean, the way some of the hospitals and the ERs get so overworked, having a two-tier system really isn't that bad either, because then it gets some of the high rollers out of the way so the rest of the normal folk can actually get their medical done, and the waiting lists go way down. It's wonderful. However, anyway, I just had to weigh in on that, and I'll talk to you guys later. Enjoy your snow. Bye.
Hope you're enjoying yours too right now.
Yeah, didn't you guys get dumped in Vancouverland?
Even more snow than we got.
Voicemail number 3.
Hello. I'm calling from my private quarters to wish Philosophy Guy a very happy birthday. Love long and prosper, my friend.
Thank you, CJ.
Wow.
Wow, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't want to do all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks. CJ.
So voicemail number 4.
Hey, Dale, it's Crystal calling on behalf of the Spa People family, wanting to wish you a very, very happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful day and even better year to follow. All the best, my friend. Take care. Have a great day. See ya.
Thank you, Crystal and Rod and all the Spa Guys family.
That would be the two kids.
The Spa People?
Yes.
And we saw some of the pictures on Flickr from the Spa People's
New Year's Eve
party. Yeah.
Wish we could have been there, too.
Somehow I think we got to work on getting the passports for the
entire
family.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Now that we have to go have a passport to go to Canada.
Yep.
All right.
Put it on the list.
The list.
We have a fifth one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a second here.
Hello, our friends. You should be here. It's the Spa People calling from the Spa People party. And there's people that want to say hi. So say hi, people.
Happy New Year. We'll be in the pool soon. Bye.
Hey, where's my drink? Hey.
Hang on. Gag wants to say hi. Hi. Have a good one, guys. We miss you. We wish you were here. Bye.
Oh,
thank you, Spa People and Spa Party People.
And yeah,
that was Lorna and Rod. Manager John and his wife Gag and Rod. Wish we could have been there too.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, we'll plan on something
very soon. So that's it for voicemails.
Okay.
And
that brings us to what is next on my list here. Hold on.
We're going out of order, by the way.
We are way out of order, but you know what? Such is life. Cheesehead Spotlight by you.
The Cheesehead Spotlight.
Which is the Christmas Kringle Shop.
Yes, this is probably, well, first of all, this is not something I would go to.
No, it would not be something you would go to because it is not Kringle as in the nice pastry Danish ring.
No, it's not a Racine Kringle, which we can talk about later. But
Racine Kringles, yummy.
Yummy, yes. A very fattening, but yummy. This is the Crystal Kringle Shop, which is just south of Fond du Lac.
It's not just south of Fond du Lac. It's in Fond du Lac.
Well, it's on the freeway, just a little bit south of like Merkmary, which is on the south side of Fond du Lac.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. They celebrate Christmas a whopping 361 days a year, not including Christmas. I think they're closed, but
they would be.
It's 10,000 square feet of exciting glass ornaments, collectibles, and gifts for every occasion. Browse through the European village of shops created within our shop. Enjoy sights and sounds and scents of the holidays all year long.
And that shop has been there
for
as long as
ever.
I can remember. I remember it when we would drive up to Green Bay when I was a little kid. And in the 40-some years I've been on this planet, I have yet to be there.
This will probably get you in the door.
Do they have Department 56 or do they have Santas?
Yes, they have. Ooh. Well, they have. See, they got this ornament of the month is a flipping Santa.
Ooh. For those of you that don't know, I collect Santas and I collect snowmen.
Yes. Okay. This is full full on Christmas in the living room right now. And I'm going to count just in the living room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
There's 8 or 9 Santas. There's a Santa that dropped. So there's a Santa I couldn't find either.
There's 9 Santas.
And then there's...
There's...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's at least 8 or 9 other snowman-y type things. And there's the ones that I'm missing that I couldn't find in the box.
And then they also have they have Department 56.
That's the other thing that's in my house right now is the Snow Village.
They have the Christmas Village Days.
I don't know that one.
As an event. You can buy retired Department 56 stuff.
Oh, they got retired? Oh, I have to go up there now because I'm missing some pieces from the retired village.
See, this is a bad thing. I just told you.
You just told me something that I have to go check out now.
On your next trip to Green Bay.
I don't even have to go to Green Bay. I can just drive up to Fond du Lac. It's an hour away. That's a quick trip.
That is the... Oh, I should tell you where this wonderful place is.
Uh-huh.
It is located at 1330 South Main Street in Fond du Lac.
Right off of Highway 41.
And their phone is 920-922-3900 or toll-free 1-800-721-2525.
Do they have a website?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just trying to find it on the piece of paper here.
Well, we'll make sure you put it.
Here it is.
Okay.
It's at www.christmaskringle.com.
Okay, that brings us to random Wisconsin facts. And I have 3 of them this time. The first is that Wisconsin was the nation's first kindergarten, and it was established in Watertown in 1856.
I think the first kindergarten building might be a mile away from us at Old World, but I'm not sure.
I think they did move it there, but I didn't look it up, so I can't quote myself.
Okay,
second random Wisconsin fact was that Frank Lloyd Wright was born in Richland Center on June 8th in 1867, and he has one of his homes, Taliesin, in the Spring Green area, and that is kind of like a open museum of the place.
Right.
And that's actually a very cool place to go see. We did see it a couple years ago. What they have opened of the house is great, but a lot of it is closed because it is either A, structurally unsound, or they're still working on
or it's private. It's private residence and stuff.
Well,
like
yeah, because it's a museum plus private school, private residence thing they're going. Okay. And random Wisconsin fact number 3 is that Green Bay is the toilet paper capital of the world.
Even though it's not in Green Bay, it's what, Littleshute or Kaukauna? It's
well,
the smelly. It smells like a toilet paper.
That would be Littleshute in Kaukauna area. I think it depends on which paper mill you're at because there's paper mills in Kaukauna, paper mills in Littleshute, paper mills in De Pere. There's 2 or 3 I can think of in the Green Bay area, both on the east and the west side, to name a few. Because Fort Howard's up there, and what's the one on the east side?
I don't know anymore.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah, and they've, like everything else, the paper companies have been kind of conglomerated into big, used to be Wisconsin-owned, and now most of them are foreign-owned, blah, blah, blah.
Don't know, haven't lived up there in many years, don't really care. Anyway.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can send it to...
BadgerCast...
at gmail.com.
you can give us a call at 206-202-2008.
Like all the wonderful people did. Thank you again for the birthday and
the New
Christmas.
Year's wishes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, and I'm Don't Tickle Me. You can get a hold of us. Go ahead.
On Skype.
Again, I'm Don't Tickle Me.
And I'm the Philosophy Guy on both Twitter and Skype.
You can email me directly and forget about Dale. And that's at donttickleme@gmail.com. Or you can get a hold of Dale himself at philosophyguy@gmail.com.
No, it's the Philosophy Guy Show. Or philosophyguyshow@gmail.com.
Thank you.
We'll leave you. Since we're still technically in the Christmas season, and my tree is still up.
Yeah, it has to come down this weekend.
Yes. We're going to leave you with another song from Daryl Smith, which we had one of his songs last time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find him at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of a medley of There's a Light and Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
And I'm sorry about the clicking that you hear in the background. That is number one song on Guitar Hero.
Good night, everybody.
Night and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You don't ask your dance or a prince or a vixen. Comet and Cupid and Donner and
Blitzen. Okay, knock it off!
But do you recall
the most famous reindeer of all?
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer
had a very shiny nose.
And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Like a light bulb.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
Hey, snot nose.
Yeah. Hey. Poor Rudolph.
Rudolph.
Joining any reindeer games.
Like Million Dollar Password.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve.
Santa came to say,
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Rudolph, and all reindeer loved him.
As they shouted out with glee,
glee,
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.